Today's daf is of the Zohar daf Ayin Beis, and we are a little bit behind, or should I say a lot of bit behind. We are 9 lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Aleph, Amid Aleph, Omer Ravash. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael, Hanasunim Batzaru Vashivya. So we're moving along here at the very end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, continuing to discuss halachos related to Yayin Nesach. Specifically, the Gemara got involved in a global discussion that relates to how exactly Oivdei Koychavim would be able to acquire Metaltalin. Meaning, we know that in order for somebody to acquire something, in order for somebody to be quote-unquote kind of something, you have to do a ma'isa kinyan. Even if you pay for it, ma'os is not kindness. We mentioned yesterday that machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether midda'iraisa ma'os really is kindness, and it's only midrabanan that ma'os is not kindness, or whether even midda'iraisa ma'os is not kindness. But one thing is for sure, that midrabanan, hefker best and hefker ma'os, is not kindness. How then is somebody kind of something? By making a kinyan. What's a kinyan? Meshicha, Hagbah, Chatzir, Agav, etc., etc. The question is, this idea that ma'os is not kindness, but rather the way one is kind of metaltalin is through the ma'isa kinyan. Is that only true for Yidin, or is that true for Oivdei Koychavim as well? And as we saw very briefly, it's a machloikis amoyron, it's a machloikis amemer and ravashi. Amemer said, Meshicha ba'Oivdei Koychavim koina. That just like Meshicha, or any kinyan for that matter, is koina by a yid, the same is true for an Oivdei Koychavim. Yidin a koina metaltalin via Meshicha, again, Meshicha just being an example of a kinyan, Oivdei Koychavim a koina metaltalin in the same way. Ravashi argued, and Rav Ashi said that Meshicha ba'ovid koychavim einoi kain. That although it's true that when it comes to a Yisrael, Meshicha's kaino, the way you acquire something is via Maisa Kinyan, but it's only true for a Yid. When it comes to an Ovid koychavim, Meshicha's not kaino. How then is a person kaino something? He's kaino with Kesef. Meaning, you would have thought Kesef would be the way you acquire metaltalin. It just so happens that when it comes to a yid, that's not the way it is. But an oivid keichavim, hadar dina, doesn't have that chiddush of meshicha, and the way an oivid keichavim is koina is with kasef. So that according to a meimar, an oivid keichavim is koina the same way Yisrael is koina. It doesn't matter if you gave the money or didn't give the money. What matters is, did you do a kinyan, did you not do a kinyan? According to Rav Ashi, it's just the opposite. It doesn't matter if you did a kinyan or you didn't do a kinyan. What's koina is mois. You could do meshicha, hagbah, you could do kinyanim from today till tomorrow. That in and of itself is not going to be considered acquisition. The way one is koina and oivid keichavim is dafka through kasef. Either way, the first part of today's daf is going to be a deep dive into this machlokes. And it really begins with Rav Ashi himself, one of the two bali plukt in the sugya talking. And he is going to tell us what his source was, that Meshicha ba'ovid keichavim, in contrast to a Yisrael, is einoi koina. Says the Gemara, I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, me not me the law. How do I know that Meshicha is not koina by an ovid keichavim? So Rav Ashi is going to tell us his source, and he's not going to give us a Mishnah. He's not going to present us with a Braisa. He's not even going to tell us that I heard it from a previous Amor. Rather, he's going to tell us an anecdote that he was aware of that involved the great Amir Rav, and from there he is going to deduce that it must be Rav was of the opinion that Meshicha ba'ovid keichavim einoi koina, and this is Rav Ashi, who's one of the later Amiram talking, and he's going to suggest that if Rav, one of the earlier Amiram, felt that Meshicha is not koina ba'ovid keichavim, well, must be that's dalach. Either way, so what's this anecdote that involved Rav? So Rav Ashi said, Mid amad hu Rav lahanu savyasa. Rav told the savyasa, these were the meichrayai, people that sold wine, ki kailisu chamer la'ovid keichavim. When you measure wine for ovid keichavim, shaklu zuzi minayu, what you should do is, you should first take money from them, the hadar kailon, and afterwards you should fill the wine into the measuring utensils and measure it. The Eloi Nikitu Badayu Zuzi, and let's say they don't have any money, so they'd love to give you the money, you'd love to take it from them, but they don't have it. Then Oisfunu Vahadash Kilu Minai. What you should do is you should lend them the money and force them to give it to you. Now they're gonna owe you money as a halva, but at the very least, take money as it relates to this wine. It's like this, any outstanding money is going to be halva. But the point is that you better do it this way. Because if you're not going to follow this formula, when this wine inevitably is going to become Yayin Nesech, it's going to end up becoming Yayin Nesech in your Rishos, and when you're going to take money, well, that money is going to be Dmei Yayin Nesech, you're going to be taking money that's really Yayin Nesech money, and it's for that reason you have no choice, Rav said, to do it in this way. So Rav Ashi said, I heard that Rav told the Yidden they used to sell wine to the Ovdei Kechavim that before you sell wine to an Ovdei Kechavim, make sure that you take money. Meaning, take the money up front. Because if you're not going to take the money up front and you're going to give them the wine, ultimately they're going to make the wine into Yayin Nesech. And when they make the wine into Yayin Nesech, then the wine, to the extent that it still belongs to you, because halachically the mechira wasn't chal yet, is going to be wine that you're not allowed to sell, because you're not allowed to sell Yayin Nesech, you're not allowed to have anah from Yayin Nesech. If you take the money at the onset like this, this is not something that you're going to have to worry about. Now, just one mitzias that's worth pointing out before we go weiter, and that is, what did Rav say? He tells the Meicher Yain, Ki kalisu chamro lo'evde kechavim, shaklu zuzi minayu, v'hadar kailun lohu. So the mitzias was that the Meicher Yain, they would have chavios, they would have these big barrels of wine, right? They didn't have bottles of wine the way we have it today. You have a barrel of wine, and then somebody, the buyer, would come with his kalim, and he would say, I want to now take possession of this wine. Now, before the person bought wine, the wine had to be measured, meaning you're buying not all the wine, you're buying a certain amount of wine. You know how much you're buying. So there would be a kli medida, some keli that was used to measure the wine. The wine was taken from the chavis, it was put into that keli, and then ultimately it was poured into the end user's keli, and that's how he went and he took it home. What Rav is saying is that make sure that you take the money before you pour the wine into these measuring cups. Because once you pour it into the measuring cup, at that point, the guy, again, assuming that's who you're selling it to, is going to take the wine. And if he's going to take the wine, he's going to make it into Yayin Nesech. If you're going to take money first, well, then at that point, he would have already acquired it. And if he already acquired it, at that point, this is not something you have to worry about. Now, says Rav Ashi, I heard what Rav said, and let me tell you what my thoughts were. That if you're going to tell me that an Ovdei Kechavim could be koina b'meshicha, just like Yisrael was koina b'meshicha, if that's the case, then as soon as the Yid pours the wine into the Kli Medida, and he gives it to the Ovdei Kechavim, and the Ovdei Kechavim does Meshicha on it, meaning he takes it towards him, or, by the way, the Gemara is saying Meshicha, but even if he just lifts it, so he does a Hagbah, well, at that point, Kanya, he's Koine it, and Yayin Nesech Lehava Adenagabe, and that in and of itself is not going to make it into Yayin Nesech, because it wouldn't become Yayin Nesech until he actually touched it. And if that's the case, why did Rav have this Peda? Why is he telling the Meicher Yayin that you better take the money before you hand over the wine? What's he worried about? He's worried because you're going to hand it over, it's going to become Yayin Nesech before the transaction was consummated. What do you mean the transaction was consummated? As soon as the guy lifted it, as soon as he did Meshicha with it. Because at that point he did a Kenyan, and once he did a Kenyan, at that point it already belonged to him. And if it already belonged to him, so what exactly is the concern? Oh, must be, said Rav Ashi, that Rav is of the opinion that Meshicha is not koina by an Ovdei Kechavim. And the fact that you're handing him over the Kli Medida, that in and of itself doesn't make it his. And if it doesn't make it his, it's for that reason Rav said you have a problem. Because if you're going to hand it over, then there's a concern that he may make it into Yayin Nesach, and if he didn't get paid yet, it's going to be your Yayin that became Yayin Nesach. And if your Yayin becomes Yayin Nesach, you're going to have a problem. So says Rav Ashi, that from the fact that Rav felt that the only way it would become the Goyz is by giving money, but thus alone that he's doing Meshicha on the Keli, on this Kli Medida, that in and of itself wouldn't make it that it belongs to the Goyz. I say, Meres, Meshicha is not Koina by an Oivik Echavim, although Meshicha is Koina by Yisrael, but you see when it comes to an Oivik Echavim, it's not going to be Koina. Now one thing that is worth mentioning is that it seems that this in and of itself, that the Yid is handing over the wine in the Kli Medida to the Oivik Echavim, that wouldn't make a Yayin Nesach, right? Meaning, what's Rav Ashi's point? Rav Ashi's saying that what's Rav worried about? Why does Rav feel that you need to pay money? Just give it to him. Let him lift it. Let him do the Meshicha. It'll be his. So now if it becomes Yayin Nesach later, it will have happened in the Rosh Hashanah Oivik Echavim. What do you mean? L'chayr, das alein that the guy is lifting it. Das alein that he's doing Meshicha. He's carrying the Yayin. If he carries the Yayin, that for sure is considered Yayin Shal Yisrael Shanaga Oivik Echavim. And at that point, it should become Yayin Nesach. The answer, of course, is what we spoke about in the Stam Yenam, that the fifth raid bite, don't touch my wine, which we mentioned very much at the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that the only time wine is considered to have been touched by a guy is if the guy touches the physical wine. But if he doesn't touch the physical wine, he only touches the bottle of the wine, that in and of itself is not considered negiyah. And in fact, if you look at the Bir Agra in Shulchan Aruch on that halacha, so the guy brings two makaris, and one of the makaris is this gemara right here, that you see in Abay Dazar, Ayin Aleph, Amar Aleph, that the fact that the guy would do Meshicha or Hagbah with the wine when it's in the Kli Medida, that in and of itself wouldn't make it Yayin Nesach. It's only a concern that he might do it later, but Tainas Rav Ashi, to the extent that Mashiach is Koina, why should this be a problem? So again, so what's Rav Ashi's point in short? Rav Ashi's point is that why did Rav have this paid? Why is he telling the Yidin that I'm Moichre Yayin, make sure you take money before you hand it over, because I don't want that when the guy maybe touches the actual wine later, he's going to make it Yayin Nesach before the Mechira took place, and then you won't have been able to have sold it. L'chayr, the minute he hands over the Kli Medida, at that point, he's not making it Yayin Nesach because he didn't touch the actual wine, like we just said, and he's doing a Hagbar or Meshicha with it. And to the extent he's doing a Hagbar with a Meshicha in it, at that point it's his. And if it's his, so weiter, if he touches it, it won't be Yayin Nesach. Oh, must be, said Rav Ashi, that Meshicha is not Koina when it comes to an Oved Koichavim. But the Gemara says that no, it's not Muchach that there's a Raya. Because it could be, either Kokayel V'Rami, the man of the Yisrael, if Rav was certain that when the Yid was going to sell the wine, he was going to put it into his own measuring cup, that's where he was going to put it, Hachinami, it could be then he would not have been concerned. Meaning he would have never said take the money, because he would have understood that this is going to be a Meshicha, this is going to be Akbar, this is going to be some form of Kenyan that's going to happen first anyways. And if that's the case, there's no reason to have to come up with the money. Why did Rav feel that he needed to say his Psak, his Hira, the Kakayel, the Rami, the Mandu, the Abikachav? He was worried what would be if this measuring cup that's needed to go from the Chavis to ultimately take it to the end user was going to be a measuring cup that belongs to the Oivik Echavim, not a measuring cup that belongs to the Yid. To the extent that the measuring cup was going to belong to the Oivik Echavim, well, then at that point, there's a concern that as soon as the wine gets poured into the measuring cup, that in and of itself would make the wine into Yayin Nesach. And the reason is because we're going to assume that on the bottom of this Kli Medida, there's probably a little bit of wine. And the wine that's being poured by the Yid is going to be mixed with that wine. And if it's going to be mixed with that wine, it's vaiter going to be considered Yayin Nesach. And as a result, the Yid's not going to be able to have anah from it. So, Enochinami, if the wine, if the Kli Medida belonged to the Yisrael, so there's no chash that it's going to become Yayin Nesach when you pour it in. What's the chash? Maybe later the guy's going to touch it. Well, later it's going to be after Akbar Meshicha. And Akbar Meshicha maybe is Koina. And that's not something Rav would have ever been worried about. The reason Rav is worried is because he's concerned that maybe as soon as you pour it into the Kli Medida, Dos Alein, when you pour it in, that in and of itself is going to be a problem. And if at that minute you're going to make it into Yayin Nesach, well, then you're going to have a problem. Because the minute you pour it in, well, at that point, the guy wasn't Koina yet. He's for sure can't be Koina until he does some sort of kinyan with it. But the minute you put it in, it already is Yayin Nesach, and that's why there's a problem. So what was Rav Zaitza? Rav Zaitza was that what you should do is you should pay for it. If you pay for it like this, the money is going to take care of the issue. But the Gemara says, I think that still there's a little bit of a kasha. Why? Because soif, even if what Rav was worried about was that maybe the Yid is going to pour it into the keli of the guy, so that as soon as you pour it, right away, even before the guy touches maybe the wine, it's going to become Yayin Nesach, but still, l'chayre, the kinyin of the wine being poured into the Gois Keli should happen before it becomes Yayin Nesach in the Gois Keli. What do you mean? You think the two things happen at the same time, right? When's it going to become Yayin Nesach? When it goes into the Gois Keli. When's the guy going to be Koinen? When it goes into the Gois Keli. But the Gemara says that's not true. You can split this action over here into its fine parts, and you can see that the two are actually not necessarily happening at the same exact second. Why? Because it could be Kimata Lavir Damana Kanya. As soon as the wine enters the ear space of this Keli, at that point, the guy would be Koinen with his Keli. Yayin Nesach Lehavi Adamati Larisa Damana. But it wouldn't become Yayin Nesach until it actually falls to the bottom. I mean, that's pashut. It's not going to be Yayin Nesach until it actually lands on the bottom of the Keli. So if it's not going to be Yayin Nesach until it lands to the bottom of the Keli, then it could be the Kinyan is still happening earlier. Because L'chayre, the Kinyan, as long as it enters the ear space, that should be enough in order for the Kinyan to take place. And based on the fact that I'm holding it, I'm holding the Keli, the wine is in the ear space of the Keli, and the wine being in the ear space of the Keli is the equivalent of the wine actually being in the Keli, and that should be enough for me right now to be considered that I'm holding it, and as a result, the Kinyan should be a Kinyan. So Taina is the Gemara that I still think that Rav did not need his Eitzah. Why? Because to the extent that Rav holds that Meshicha really is kaina by an oivet kechavim. So what exactly was Rav worried about? If the yid is going to pour it into the yid's own keli, well, and the guy is going to do akbar, he's going to do a meshicha with this kli medida before he ever touches it. It's like, this is never going to be a problem with Yayin Nesach. So why is Rav saying you have to come up with the money? And even if Rav was worried that maybe the yid is going to pour it into the keli of the guy, so that now it would become Yayin Nesach before the guy ever touched it, but still the Kinyan would happen first. If Meshich and Akbar is Chayin Ba'evik Echavim, then still the Kinyan would take place first, because the Kinyan would take place as soon as it enters the ear space of the Keli, and it wouldn't become Yayin Nesach until it actually reaches to the bottom. So Vaita, why is Rav saying that you have to come up with money? Or must be. From the fact that Rav is saying you have to come up with money, it's because Rav holds the Mashiach is not going, which was Rav Ashi's right. So again, the Gemara is timing that at the end of the day, Rav Ashi's Raya L'Chayra is a very good Raya, because Mamar Mashach, whether or not the Yid was going to pour it into his own Keli, or he was going to pour it into the Goy's Keli, L'Chayra, if Mashiach is kind of Avik Echavim, the Kinyan would take place before it ever becomes Yayin Nesach. And if that's the case, why did Rav need money? Oh, must be the reason Rav needed money, the reason Rav needed that he should pay the money first, is because Rav is of the opinion that Mashiach Ba'evik Echavim is really not kind. Now, the Maksha on Rav Ashi asked the Kasha, right? He didn't anticipate this Soif Soif Kimata Lavir Demon Kanya Yayin Nesach Leyavi Adimati Larisa Demon. He asked the Kasha again. Rav Ashi said, from the story of Rav, from that anecdote, I think there's a raya that Rav is of the opinion that Mashiach is not coin by an Oiv Kechav. And he brought a very stark raya. The Maksha said, no, there's no raya, because maybe Rav was worried about you pouring it into the Keli of the Oiv Kechav. Now the Gemara had a good response. So what was the Maksha thinking? Meaning, soiv soiv ki mata lavir the mana kanya yayin nesach le'ava the mata larisa the mana is a defense of Rav Ashi, but now it puts the onus on the Maksha to explain himself. So the Gemara says that shma mina, should we prove from the Maksha that nitzoy chibur? Meaning, maybe the Maksha knew what we just said. The Maksha understood that l'chayr the kinyan should still be taking place before the yayin nesach mixes together with this wine, and as a result, Rav Ashi should have a good raya from here that Meshicha Be'etzim can't be kind. So why didn't he feel that way? Why did he ask the Kasha? So says the Gemara, maybe it's because he holds Nitzo Chibra. So first of all, what does Nitzo Chibra mean? So it's going to be the topic at the end of the daf. The Gemara is going to talk about if somebody is pouring kosher wine, let's say, into Yayin Nesach, and there's a Nitzok, there's like a stream. There's one body of water that's connecting the two waters. It's connecting the kosher wine and the not kosher wine. If you hold Nitzo Chibra, that means that the two wines are considered one and the same. They're considered connected. In other words, any wine that's in the kosher barrel is now considered to be non-kosher by virtue of the fact that it's connected to the non-kosher wine. That stream makes it as one. If you hold Nitzuk is not a chibur one, then obviously it's not going to be considered one. Tainus the Gemara, if you hold that Nitzuk is chibur, then I would understand where the Maksha was coming from. How so? Because that's true that when the Yid is going to pour the wine into the Kli Medida, so initially when he pours the wine in, the wine is going to be acquired by the Oivik Echavim. And the reason is because as soon as it enters the airspace of the keli, at that point he's going to be koinet, right? With his akbah, it's in his hand, and based on that he's going to be koinet. It's not going to become yayin esach until it reaches the bottom. Stating that once it reaches the bottom and the yid continues to pour more and more wine, the wine that's going to come in later at some point is going to be mechuber to the wine on the bottom. And the minute it becomes mechuber, then that wine is going to become yayin esach. So it's true the first wine is not yayin esach, but once you create a chibur between the wine of the Avi Kechavim that was on the bottom of the keli and all the wine that's being poured in, well, then what's going to happen is you're going to have this nitzuk and all the wine is going to become a problem. If all the wine is going to become a problem, well, then it's understandable why Rav felt that the Meichre Yayin should take the money first to prevent this from happening. Because if it's going to become Yayin Esach on the dime of the Yid, well, then he's not going to be able to sell, and then we're going to have an issue. In other words, what's the Ravashi timing? Ravashi saying that I've arrived from Rav, the Mashicha must be not cut. Because if Mashicha is cut, then why are you worried about the Yayin Esach? You're forcing the guy to give the money. L'chayr, once he does Mashicha, that in of itself is going to make it his, and if it's his, it won't be a problem. The Makshas timing, I'll tell you what the problem is. I'm worried about the fact that the Yid might pour it into the Goy's Keli. And if the Yid's going to pour it into the Goy's Keli, well, then you're going to have a problem. Because then there's going to be a mixture between the Yid's wine and the Goy's wine. And that's going to happen before any kinyan takes place. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? It's not going to happen before any kinyan takes place. Because the kinyan's going to happen as soon as it enters the airspace. Says the Gemara, that would be true if the you're only cheshbening the first wine that's coming in. If, however, being that more wine is going to come in, and at some point there's going to be a nitzok, well, that's going to be mechaber all the wines together, and once you mechaber all the wines together, at that point you're going to have a problem. In other words, if the maksha held nitzok chibur, then it's very moving, it's very understandable why he asked the kasha that he asked. So the Gemara says, from the maksha, should we prove that he holds nitzok chibur? The Gemara says, loy. It could be not. It could be when the Maksha was asking a Rav Ashni, he was asking from a slightly different case. If the only concern that Rav would have had was that maybe the Yid's going to sell it to a guy, and he's going to sell it to the guy in the guy's keli, and the guy's going to be holding the keli, that it could be a Hachinami, he wouldn't have been worried. Because what are you worried about? You're worried that it's going to mix. You don't have to worry because the kinyan's going to happen as soon as it enters the airspace. It's not going to mix until it actually gets to the bottom. You're worried about nitzuk? Maybe nitzuk is really not a chibur. What he was worried about is what if it's sitting on the ground? And if it's sitting on the ground, well, then he's not holding it. If he's not holding it, he's not doing a kinyan. You're going to pour it into his keli on the ground. He is not koin it even when it's in the airspace, even when it falls to the bottom, because he's not physically holding it. And being that you're not going to be koinet, the guy, at that point, so it's going to become yayin esach before you're going to be able to do a kinyan. Meaning, it could be Meshicha Batsim is koinet. And if it's going to be put into the kelim of a yid, he wasn't worried. And even if it's going to put into the kelim of a guy and the guy's going to be holding it, he also wasn't worried. Because in both of those cases, you'd have the Meshicha before it ever became yayin esach. But what he's worried about is maybe it's going to be poured into the kelim of the guy, and the guy's kelim is going to be sitting on the floor, in which case he doesn't have the ability to, he's not lifting it, and being that he's not lifting it, so it's for that reason that maybe Rav preempted, and he said, I think what you need to do is you have to make sure that he's going to give the money in advance. But the Gemara says, I still have a problem, because if that's the thing that Rav is worried about, tikni le kelov, then the keli itself should be able to be koina, meaning to the extent that Rav is, again, of the opinion that Mashiach is koina, Agba is koina, that all the kinyanim are koina, well, there's a halacha that kelov shalei keach b'shus moicha could be koina. So if that's the case, you're worried that the Yid in his store is going to pour it into the Goy's Kli Medida, even if he pours it into the Goy's Kli Medida, but at the same time, it's going to be his, and it's going to be his by virtue of the fact that it landed into the keli. So again, what's the taina? The taina is, then l'chayre, he's vaita going to be koine at the guy. If he's vaita going to be koine, why do you need him to come up with the money? If he's pouring it into his keli and it's lying on the floor, then l'chayre, he should be able to be koine. And again, what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that you're worried that it's going to mix together with the yayin esach, but he's going to be koine it in the avar of the kli before that that actually happens. You can tell me you're worried about the Nitzuk. Oh, then Shema Mina Nitzuk Kibum. You're telling me no, that you're able to understand this. The Maksha, we want to be able to hold that Nitzuk is really not a Kibur. So the Gemara says, well, at the very least, should I prove Shema Mina Kalev Shalekech, which was Meicher Lekona Lekech? Meaning, if you hold that Kalev Shalekech, which was Meicher, the Lekech is really not Kaina, well, that would explain everything. What you're worried about is he's going to pour it into the Kaili of the Goy while it's lying on the floor. It's going to become Yayin Nesach. Not only before you gave the money, before you even did a Meshicha. I hear, but that would presuppose that. This is a big sugi Mesechtas Bava Basra. Should we be able to be Mechir? Gemara says, Loi. The Oilam Eimelucha, Kanalikech. Loilam, I'll tell you that Kalev Shalikech, Beshus Mecha, is Kanalikech. Bachab Mayaskinon. You want to know what was going on over here? Why was Rav concerned? Rav was not concerned because Rav holds Meshicha is not Kaina by a guy. Like we said, Meshicha really is Kaina by a guy. The reason he wants you to come up with the money is going to Ikra Akeves Yayin, Apume de Kruzanta. He was worried again about the yid pouring into the keli of the guy. That's what he's worried about. He's worried about the yid pouring into the keli of the guy. And by the way, this akimta of the Gemara, which is going to be the final akimta of the Gemara, it doesn't matter if the guy is holding it or if it's on the floor, right? We had two eitzes. Either he's holding it and he's going to be kind of ragba, or it's on the floor, it would be kelev shalekech v'shus meicher. At this point, it doesn't really matter. But rather, it's talking about where the yid is pouring into the keli of the guy, and there's a little bit of wine on the lip. Apume de kuzanta means on the lip of the keli that it's being poured into. The kama kama insechle. As the yid is pouring wine, it mixes with those few drops of wine that are on the lip, and once it mixes with that, you end up having a taruvas of kosher wine, a yayin nesach, and that is what Rav was worried about. So the reason Rav said that pay first is because I'm worried that the yid might pour into the kli medida of the guy, and if he's going to pour into the kli medida of the guy, it's going to inevitably mix with a little bit of drops of wine that's on the top of the keli, meaning it's going to become yayin nesach before it even goes into the ear space of the keli. And if it goes in, it becomes the Yayin Nesach, even before it goes into the ear space of the keli, then you're going to have an issue. And that's why Rav had to come up with the Eitzah. In other words, there's no raya from Rav that he holds that Meshicha is not koined by an Ovi Kechavim. There's no raya from the Maksha that he holds that Nitzuk is a Chibur. There's no raya from the Maksha that he holds Kelev Sholokeach Peshus Meicher is Loikono Loikeach. The Rav over here was worried about a very simple metzias that maybe if the Meichi Yisrael is going to pour the wine from the Chavis into the clay medida of the guy, before it even enters the airspace, it's going to touch the little bit of wine, the akeves yayin that's apume de kuzanta. Once it mixes with that wine, you can end up with a yayin nesach issue. Once it becomes yayin nesach, you can't sell it anymore. What's the workaround? The workaround is pay for it in advance. If you pay for it in advance, then you're not going to have an issue. But the Gemara says, this all makes sense. Ukeman de like Rav Shimon Gamliel. If you hold not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, why do Rav Shimon Gamliel? Because if that loch is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, ha'amah, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, and this is in a Mishnah coming up, and the context over there was when Yayin Nesach was mixed together with kosher wine. So Rav Shimon Gamliel said, Yimacher Kulay, that just because a little bit of Yayin Nesach got mixed doesn't mean you can't have enough from any of the wine. What you could do is you could sell all the wine. Can't drink it, but you could sell all the wine. Lo'ev de Kechavim, to someone that's allowed to drink it. Chutz midmei Yayin Nesach Shabai. And just hold back. Don't take full retail value for it. But rather, the value of the Yayin Nesach that you know is mixed inside of it, that you should hold back. This is a very big kula. But the point is, you don't need to make the whole Taruvah Sasser. Keep that back. What's the Gemara's taina? The Gemara is saying that this statement of Rav must be not like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And the reason is because if it's like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, then really Rav didn't need to do what he did. Because what we're coming at is that what was Rav really worried about? He's worried about the akeves yayin. He's worried about the few droplets of wine. The few droplets of wine is very insignificant. In fact, the Rishonim say that it's so insignificant that it has so little value relative to the overall thing that over here you wouldn't even have to do Reb Shimon Gamliel's Eitzah of Yimachet Kulei Lo'ev Dekechavim Chutz Midmei Yayin Nesach Shabbat. But the bottom line is Rav is literally micromanaging how the sellers of the Shuk sell their wine to an Ovi Kechavim. Make sure you take the money first. You don't have to make yourself so mishiga. Because what's the worst case scenario? There's a few droplets of wine. You let it have enough from it, even if it's in the taruvas. No, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, chutz midmei yayin nesach. Could be this is so inferior, it's so insignificant, that you wouldn't even have to do that. But the bottom line is from the fact that Rav is having an issue with it. Must be. It's not like Rishonim going, now if you look at Rashi, the way Rashi explains just Pashup Shan in the Gemara, like the Niggin of the Gemara, Kaman is a Kasha. Meaning, the like Rav Shimon Gamliel, now why would it be a Kasha? Let's say Rav's not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why is that the end of the world? It's because we know, Kamakim Shashan, Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Shaseinu, Halacha Kemoisai. So it says Rashi, it's a Kasha. Meaning, if Rav is worried about the droplets, should we prove that Rav is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel? Says, yeah, it's a very good observation. And by the way, we happen to know for a fact that that is Shita Shavtas Midi, Utaim El Rav. Who are we going according to? We're going according to Rav. Well, Ha'amar Rav. Rav said, Allah, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Chavis B'Chavis. Allah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel as it relates to two Chavis that got mixed up. A sugya coming up later. What we need is the next part. But we don't pass it like Rav Shimon Gamliel when it comes to wine that got mixed up with wine. Well, if Rav Shita anyways is that the halach is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel when it comes to yayin b'yayin, so Rav Lishitasa is worried about the droplets, and that's why Rav said, you have to do what you have to do. Either way. Going back to the original machloikis between Ameimar and Rav Ashi. What was the machloikis? Ameimar holds that Meshicha ba'ovid kechavim is kaina. Rav Ashi holds that Meshicha ba'ovid kechavim is not kaina. Says the Gemara, Meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha. And this is a kasha on a Meimar who holds that Meshicha ba'ovid kechavim is kaina. And if this brisa that the Gemara is about to present now sounds familiar, it's because we've seen this brisa earlier already. Le'il daf nun gimel amanav. Alekeach gruta is min ovid kechavim. If somebody bought scraps of silver from an ovid kechavim, umotzebem avoidus kechavim. And then amongst the scraps, he found a real avoidus zar, which is obviously something you're not allowed to have anav from. If the yid, the buyer, did meshicha on these grutois before he paid, yachzer, so then the halacha is, then if you want to return it, you can return. If he gave the money ready and then he did the meshicha, then the halacha is, it's too late. You own it. Once you own it, you can't give it back. Meaning giving it back means you get like a refund. You can't even have enough from it. So you can't give it back. You can't have any benefit from it. What you need to do is you have to literally throw it into the Yama Melech. Now, what's the Gemara's kasha? And that if you're going to tell me, Amem is right, the meshicha is going to become just like it's going to be Yisrael. So why is the halacha that if the yid did meshicha, but he didn't pay for it yet, that he has to go, and if he wants to give it back, he has a right to give it back. L'chayra, once he did meshicha, whether he paid for it or didn't pay for it, he's automatically koine. Now, bishlam, if you're going to tell me meshicha is not koine, but we can chav him, so I understand. And just to bring out the point better, we mentioned this yesterday, that when we say Meshicha is or isn't koine ba'ovid kechavim, it means loishna if the ovid kechavim is being koine from Yisrael, or if the ovid kechavim is being koine from ovid kechavim, or if Yisrael is being koine from an ovid kechavim. So again, if you hold like Rav Ashi, Meshicha is not koine ba'ovid kechavim, what do you need? You need the mois. Oh, so then I understand. Because he wasn't koine. I Meshicha is always koine, but not by a guy. And over here you're buying these grutois, these metal scraps from a guy, and as a result you weren't koine. But if you're going to tell me that Meshicha ba'ovid kechavim is koina, then why is it that Talach is yach? Amr Abayas said, I'm going to tell you why. Mishum de mechsi ki mekach tois. And some Rishonim take out the word mechsi. And they say it's mishum de havi mekach tois. The reason you're allowed to give it back is because of mekach tois. In your mind, you weren't buying avodah zarah. What were you buying? You were buying these grutois. You ended up with avodah zarah. It's a mekach tois. Because of mekach tois, you have a right to unwind it. Amar Rava. So Rava heard what Abaye said. And what was Rava's taina? He said, Reisha mekachtois, seif alav mekachtois. If pshat in this halach is based on a mekachtois, so what's the difference if you gave the money or you didn't give the money? Meaning, pasha, when you read the braisa, imachle nasa mois mashach yachzer. Why? Because he didn't get a kinyan. Imachle nasa mois mashach, then you can't return it. Why not? Because then you already acquired it. But now you're telling me that really it's a mekachtois in the Reisha. And that's why Yachzer. Well, then the safest is the Mekachtois, right? What's the difference? If you gave the money, didn't give the money, it's the same Mekachtois. So they're both Mekachtoises. If they're both Mekachtois, so why is it only Yachzer in the Reisha? It should be Yachzer in the safer as well. Elamai, Rava said it differently. Rava said Reisha is safer Mekachtois. Abaye seemed to say that only the Reisha is a Mekachtois. So this is the Elamai Rava. That really side the Reisha, side the safer are both the Mekachtois. Reisha and the Reisha, the Yav, Zuzi, we didn't give the money yet. It doesn't look like when the Yid returns, meaning what Rava is saying is that what I'm worried about, I'm not worried about unwinding the transaction, because the transaction never happened. There was a mekach tois. What I'm worried is that when the yid's going to go over to the guy and he's going to hand him back the avodah zarah and he's going to get money in return, it looks like he's selling the avodah zarah. So in the ratio where he didn't pay for it yet, so over there it doesn't look like he's selling the avodah zarah. You know why? Because you're going to hand the guy the avodah zarah, you're not going to get anything in return. There's no refund because he didn't give the money yet. So being that it's loy meschazi kavod zchom yisrael, it doesn't look like the yid is selling the avodah zarah. There's nothing to worry about. Sefer, however, the yov zuzi, where the yid paid already. Now when the yid's going to return the avodah zarah, he's going to get money back. Now it looks like he's selling avodah zarah to a guy. That is a bad optic, and it's for that reason there's going to be an issue. But the Gemara says, the lo'olam, I could tell you that really Mashiach is kaina, and really in this braisa nobody was kaina, right? And the reason nobody's kind of is because it's a mekach tois. If that's the case, what's the difference between the reish and the seifa? In one case, it's meschazi. It looks a little bit like the yid is selling avodah zarah. In the other case, it does not look that way. So the first kasha that the Gemara asked was a kasha on a meimar. Now the Gemara is going to ask a kasha on Ravashi. What's Ravashi? Shita, meshicha, ba'oved, koichavim, einoi koina. And this kasha that the Gemara is about to ask now is not just a kasha, but in a way, it's the kasha. Because the Gemara is going to ask Akasha from Unzer Mishnah, which is really the reason that we're even having this discussion in the first place. Up until this point, it's not even clear why we brought in this machloikis. I mean, this feels like a machloikis that belongs in Perak HaMeiches HaSfina and all the sugyas of Kinyanim. Why are we talking about it over here? It's because of this next kasha. Omli Mark Shisha Breid Rav Chizda Ravashi. Mark Shisha Breid Rav Chizda told Ravashi, Toshma, I'll bring you a raya l'chayra, not like Ravashi, that Meshicha is koina by an oivik kechavim. And you know what the raya is from Unzer Mishnah? The Mishnah said, Hamoich yenu oivik kechavim, a yid that sells his wine to an oivik kechavim, pasak ad shaloi madad. So the Mishnah said that in the event that they agreed on a price before the wine was measured, dam of mutar, the halach is, the money is going to be mutar bahana. What's the next part of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Madad ad shaloi pasak, if the medida happened before a price was agreed upon, then dam of asurim, then the money is going to be awesome. So really, what it depends on is, did you agree on a price before the medida, or did you not? But the resha first, pasak ad shaloi madad, if they agreed on a price before the medida, and then the yid sells the wine to the over kechavim, the halach is, the money is going to be mutter. Now, Tainus the Gemara, I don't understand, because I'm a Mashiach by Vikachavim in a Koino. If you're going to tell me Mashiach is not Koino by Vikachavim, I'm my dom of Mutarin. So why is the halacha that if it was Pasak actually Madad, then the money is going to be Mutar? Who cares that you went ahead and you agreed on a price before the Medida? And then what? And then you went ahead and you did the Medida. So what? So then if the guy goes ahead and touches it, we assume he's touching it in his own Rishosh. L'chayra, at the most, what the guy did was Mashiach. And Mashiach, you're telling me, is not koina by an oivik kechavim. Meaning, Bishlam, if Mashiach is koina by oivik kechavim, so I understand what's going on over here. What's going on over here is that if it was pasak actually madat, so then, dama mutarim, because once you agreed on a price, then the medida, the Mashiach is a real Mashiach. So once the Mashiach is a Mashiach, right, does not, it can be Mashiach, it can be Akbar. Once he takes the clean medida and he lifts it, he takes it towards himself, at that point he's already koine. So if he touches a lady, you have nothing to worry about. But if you tell Mashiach is not koine, you have to pay. So because it was Pasak. Pasak is not the answer. The answer is you actually have to pay for it. The Gemara says, Achim, my skin and Akdam Leidina. You want to know what's going on over here? It's talking about where the guy actually paid for it. He paid for it before the medida. So if he paid for it, it wasn't just pasak. It was pasak and he paid for it. The Gemara says, Ihochi, if he paid for it, then aim a sefer. How are you going to read the sefer? The sefer said, madad achalei pasak, dama vasurim. If he did the medida before they agreed on a price, the money is awesome. Now, if you're going to tell me that the money was paid for, amai dama vasurim, so why is the money awesome? Meaning, if you're going to tell me the Mashiach itself is not what's koina, but rather it's the money that's koina, right? That's Shitas Rav Ashi. So why madad actually pasak is dam of asurim? Pashat, the reason dam of is asurim is because being that you weren't pasak, so the Mashiach is not a Mashiach. But once you make an akimta that you gave the money, and by the way, it's a little bit funny, you gave the money, but it was like pasak. But the point is that once you give the money, at that point, then l'chayra, it's for sure yours, and if it's for sure yours, why should it be dam of asurim? It's like a bishlam if you didn't give the money. So in the first case, it was loy pasak, and or there was pasak actually mother. Second case, it was mother actually pasak. But if you tell me in both cases again, in both cases you were kaina. So in both cases you were kaina, it should always be dama mutar because the kinyan took place before the wine ever had a chance to become yayin ezek. Amale. So the Gemara says after Avashi was asked his kasha, so he told Markshisha, right? He's the shayul over here. Ulidi dachta amr b'shicha by v'kachavim kain. As you're asking me on me, I hear. But let me ask you, according to you, it's all about Mashiach. Amai Resha, Dama Mutar, Sefer Dama Vasar. In both cases, you did the Medida. So what's the difference if you were Pasach or not Pasach? Elamai Yisachlamim. But what do you have to say? It's very simple. Pasach Samcha Daite. Loi Pasach, Loi Samcha Daite. In as much as Mashiach is Koina, according to you. But it's only going to be Koina if you actually agreed on a price. But if you didn't agree on a price, well, then there's no smichas das, and in order to make a kinyan, you have to have a smichas das. No, if that's the case, according to you, l'didin nami, according to me also, afagav t'kadam l'dinar, even though it's talking about with a guy paid for it already, aba pasach samcha daite, le pasach samcha daite, if they agreed on the price, meaning just giving the money, they agreed on a price, they know exactly what it's going to be, they don't have to figure it out later, they agreed on the price, then there's a samcha daite. If they didn't agree on the price, there's no samcha daite. That's the difference between the resha and the seifa. So again, really, this part of the Gemara is the pirush of our Mishnah, which we promised we were going to get back to. So again, let's go back to the Mishnah. If somebody sells his wine to a guy, that if they agreed on a price before they measured the wine, before the guy took any possession of this wine, the yid's allowed to have anah from the money. If they measured it and handed it over before they agreed on a price, Dama Vasurim, at that point, the money is going to be Asur, because it would come out that the guy already took possession of the wine before the transaction took place. Maybe he touched the wine and made a Yayin Esach, and to the extent that he might have touched the wine and made a Yayin Esach, at that point, Dama Vasurim, the Yid would not be able to have enough of the money, because it comes out as having enough from Yayin Esach that he sold. What's Poshib Shan in the Mishnah, it's really telling the machlokes between Amemer and Ravashi. That's what emerges. According to Ravashi, let's do Ravashi first. Ravashi holds that Mashicha is not koine by Oivik Echavim. If Mashicha is not koine by Oivik Echavim, really the only way the guy can take possession to prevent this whole Yayin Nesach issue would be if he pays money. Madad, Ahin, Madad, Aher, Mashicha, Akbar is not going to work. You'd actually have to pay the money. So you'd have to make an Akimta that is talking about the Shehiktim Loi Mois. So Mish is talking about Moichi Yeinu, Levi Kechavim, and the Yid went ahead and he gave the money. Stating that the only time the guy is going to be kind even by giving the money is if he's Pasak. The only time is if there was an arrangement. So if it's Pasak, if there was an arrangement, so then that loch is, the Kenyan is in effect. So then it's going to be Dam of Mutarim. If, however, it was Loi Pasak, so then even if you gave the money, but then at that point, once you mud that, now it's in the guy's Rishos. If it's in the guy's Rishos, there's a concern that he may have turned it into Yayin Nesach, and as a result, it's going to be Dam of Asurim. According to a Meimar, who holds that Mashiach by Vikhavim is Kaina, you don't have to make the Akimta that it's talking about where he gave him money. You leave the Akimta exactly the way it is, and really, it's the mud that it's him taking the Keli after the Medida was done. It's that Mashiach that's going to make the Kinyan a Kinyan, or again, it doesn't even have to be Mashiach, just lifting the Keli, which he's going to do. So that Mashiach is going to be the Kenyan. Stating that, the only time the Kenyan is going to be in effect, if it was some chadaite, if it was pasak, it's some chadaite, if it was loy pasak, it's not some chadaite. Another kash. Only Ravina Ravashi. Ravina asked Ravashi another kash. Get Ravashi, who holds Mashiach ain't okay to buy the kechavim. So he asked the Mephesta kash, Toshma, the Amrab Chibarab, Amrab Yoich. A ben noyach, we know, is chayiv misa for violating one of the seven mitzvahs bnei noyach. Even if he steals less than a Shava Pruta, right? Stealing Zela is one of the Shavim Mitzvah Neinayach. And even if he steals less than a Shava Pruta, the halach is, he's going to be Chayim Misa, stating that Lo Yinitin Lishavim. But there's no Din HaShava. The reason there's no Din HaShava is because we assume the year that he stole from his Moichel Pachs Mishava Pruta, and as a result, there's no Veheshev Esak Zela. What's the Gemara's Kasha? V'i Am Mishich Bei V'chama Yine Koino. If you can tell Mishich is not going to be Oivik Echavim, Am I Nerag? Why is the halacha that the Ben Noyach, the Oivik Echavim, is going to be Chayiv Misa? L'chayra, he was never Koino the Chayfetz. Now, this is a stark Kasha. According to Rav Ashi, Tainas the Gemara, that holds Mishich is not Koino by Oivik Echavim, an Oivik Echavim shouldn't be able to be a Gazlin. Because how does somebody become a Gazlin? By doing a Kinyan, right? What's known as Kinyan Exela. This is Perik Meruba 101. You become a Gazlin by doing Kinyan Exela. Now, if you're Shaykh to Kinyanim, so you should be Shaykh to Kinyan Exela as well. But if you're not Shaykh to Kinyanim, you shouldn't be Shaykh to Kinyan Exela. A guy is a Gazli, is Chayiv Misa, even if he steals Pachas Mishavar Pruta. Again, a guy is chayv misa for stealing. How could a guy be a gazlin? In order to be a gazlin, you have to do kinyan gzeila. A guy l'chayra has no ability to do kinyan gzeila. So tainas the gemara again. If you're going to tell me there's no meshicha by an avi kechavim, my nerag. Why is he chayv misa? And the gemara says a shocking response. Mishum tzarei liyisrael. You want to know why he's chayv misa? He's chayv misa not because he's a cheftz of a gazlin, but because he caused the yid pain. By stealing his thing, he caused him pain. And it's for that reason, he's a gazlin. And it's for that reason, he's chayim mis. Faith the Gemara, my loinitin lishavin. Then what does it mean when we say that if it's pachas mishavin pruta, it's loinitin lishavin? Loinitin lishavin sounds like be'etzim is a chiyav hashavin. Now, it only makes sense it should be a chiyav hashavin if you're a gazlin. But if you're not a gazlin, it never really became yours on any level. There was no kinyan gzela. Then it doesn't make sense. It's inappropriate to say there should be a chiyav hashavin. You returned something that you acquired from somebody else. So what does it mean? Where it's pachas mishavah brutal, yinitin lishavah. As if to say, ordinarily, there is a chiyav hashavah. How could there ordinarily be a chiyav hashavah? The Gemara says, you're right. What it means, or Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said, yinitin lishavah, he meant the enei b'toyras lishavah. He meant that not where it's pachas mishava pruta, then punk, there's no hashava. He meant there's never hashava. And the reason is because a goy can't be a gazlin, and if a goy can't be a gazlin, so really there's no regular chiyav hashava. The chiyav hashava is a product of the fact that you're a gazlin, but being that you never made a kinyan and never entered the reshus of the goy, so it really doesn't make sense for there to be a chiyav hashava. Now, it's not his, so obviously the yid's going to be allowed to take it. But in terms of the regular of the hashavas akzela, the goy having this chiyav to go return this that he acquired that really belonged to the yid, that's takin, not something you're going to have. But the Gemara says, "Ihachi oibazai." Again, oibazai what? That really, Rav Ashi's right, Mashiach is not koinah b'avi kechavim. If Mashiach is not koinah b'avi kechavim, so how is it possible that a goy should be a gazlin? Because in order to be a gazlin, you'd have to do some sort of kinyan, you'd have to do kinyan exil. The Teretz says, really, you can't be a gazlin. We know that he's chayim misa for being a gazlin. The answer to that is that he's chayef for being mitzar. But the Gemara says, "Hachi, if that's the case, in the sefer Rabbi Yochanan's words, Rabbi Yochanan said, what would be if a guy went and he stole from the guy? So this is a goyzel min a gazlin, right? A goyzel min a ganav, but where a guy stole from a yid, and now a guy went and stole from that guy. So the halacha is nera golel. The second guy is going to be chayef misa. So bishleim ereisha, bishleim the first guy, the one that stole from the yid. I understand why you said he's chayef misa, even though really he's not a ganav, but he's chayef. He said because he was mitzar the yid. But the sefer, the second guy, what did he do? He didn't steal because you can't do any maisa kinyan, right? We're saying there's no shingas mashicha. And be mitzar, who are you mitzar? You're mitzar the gazlin? So why is he chayiv misa? Must be that the reason a guy is chayiv is taka for making a kinyan. So the first guy is chayiv from being a real gazlin, and the second guy is now a goyzel mina gazlin. They're all chayiv mitzar gazlin, which would mean mashicha by v'kechavim is koina. And if that's the case, mami, no. This is in fact a raya that Meshicha ba'ovei kechavim koina, not like Rav Ashi. And this is in fact the halacha in Shulchan Aruch that a goy can be koina, is makna, b'meshicha, exactly like a yid. And it's based on really this raya. It comes from Rabbi Yochanan's memra from the sugya of Kinyone Gizela. Tzok de Gemar. Who gathered? There was a person, double the chavre. He told his friend, If I'm ever going to sell this piece of property, I'm going to sell it to you. So this is a man who owns a piece of property. It seems like he's having some discussion with someone else to maybe buy it. He decided that he doesn't want to sell it yet, meaning I'm not ready to sell it now. But at the same time, he's giving him some sort of like a right of first refusal. So he tells him, if I ever sell it, you're going to have an ability to buy. Now, they never agreed on what the price is going to be. That's a very important part of this story. But the buyer, this guy who's ultimately going to end up with it, he made a shtickle kinyan. Says the Gemara, in the meantime, this moicha went and he sold it to somebody else. Rabbi Yosef said, Konakama, the first person gets it. Because being that he did a kinyan, it wasn't just a kinyan, he did kinyone karka, whatever you would need to do to acquire karka, kesef shtar chazaka, he went ahead and he did. And he had this right of first refusal, but it wasn't just a piece of paper that he had. He actually had done a kinyan for it. So now the seller has no right to go sell it to somebody else. Amalei Abaya told Rav Yosef, classic Abaya Rav Yosef, Valei Pasak, they never agreed on a price. And if they never agreed on a price, then there's no smichas das, says the Gemara, not Temra. Abaya said, how do I know? The Chalei Chad Valei Pasak, like Kana. that unless it's a smichas das, unless you agree on a price, it's not a kinyan. See, shtal tzu into the Mishnah. Kaval de gitzuch, tam 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 gitzuch, but what do you see from here? That if there's no agreed upon price, well then if the guy goes ahead and he does Mashicha, right, it's going to be Dama Vasurim. You need that what? You need that the price should be agreed upon in order for the king to go into effect. Because only when there's a price is there a Smichas Das. So he gave him a right of first refusal. The buyer went ahead and even did a Kinyan, but there was no Smichas Das. And the reason there's no Smichas Das was no agreed upon price. So the Gemara said, Abaya told Rav Yosef, you're saying, Kana Kama, I disagree with you. Because if there was no agreed upon price, not, and what's my Rai? My Rai is from the Mishnah. So Mara says, "My havi alo." What's the bottom line? Mara says, "My havi alo." What do you mean? Abaya proved his position from a Mishnah. Doesn't sound like it's open to negotiation. Mara says, "No, I'll tell you why. We're asking my havi alo because Dilma chumadi yainesach shiny. Maybe yainesach is more chamer, and because yainesach is more chamer, that's why in the Mishnah there's not considered to have been a mechira, and it doesn't belong to the guy unless it was pasak." But maybe ordinarily, when it comes to other years in Halach, it's not going to be that way. So the Gemara is reasonably saying that although you see the concept of the Pasuk in the Mishnah, that was a Bayis Sushtel, then maybe it's not Mamash Raif. Maybe that's where Rabbi Yosef was coming from, right? Rabbi Yosef didn't know the Mishnah. In the world of, you know, Abaya reminding Rav Yosef things, this seems pretty extreme. That Rav Yosef didn't know the Mishnah, but could be he knew the Mishnah. Chumdi Ayin Esach Shaini, right? But the Gemara says, Tashma, I'll bring you a raya that you need Pasak even when it comes to other areas in Allah, and not only by Ayin Esach. Amr Rav Idi Barabin. Idi Barabin said, Uvda, there was a story, Be'er Rav Chizda, the base manager of Chizda, Rav Chizda, Be'er Rav Huna, Rav Chizda brought the story to his Rebbe, Rav Huna, Upashte, and Rav Huna was the one ultimately that opined. Mehadit Tanya, from the following price, again, Mamish this Shaila, where there was a mechira, but it was done without a pasak, so some sort of kinyan took place. They never fully agreed upon the price. And now the shaila is the mechira in effect or is it not? It's a Mishnah of a desar, but maybe Yain Esach Hashayin. So says Rafuna, I have a raya from a braisa. The braisa says as follows, Moshach Chamorov Upayalov. So we're talking about where somebody wanted to buy something from somebody else. He wanted to buy payrois. Now the payrois that he wanted to buy were on top of the Chamorov and the Payalov. So chamarav means the ones that were riding the donkeys of the moicher. Payalav is, it was on the workers of the moicher. Meaning these kalim that the buyer wants are physically right now presiding on the guf of people that work for the moicher. Okay. Now the lekech when he did meshich on the person. He was moshach the chamar, not the chamar, the chamar, the rider. He was mashach the poil. And then he brought these chevra, he yanked them into his house. It doesn't matter if they agreed upon a price before he measured the pairs, meaning the pairs are still on the shoulders of these chevra. Or if he removed, the buyer did, the pairs from the payalim, however, they didn't agree on a price. The halach in either case is loikana, nobody is kaina, ushneim yichaylam lachzerbam, and if any one of them wants to be chayzer, they would be able to be chayzer. Now, the truth is, this part of the braisa, right away, is a raya, right? L'chayra, it's a mefurish raya. Madat atshaloi pasak, if there was a meshichadon, in this case, the buyer took the payres off the guf of the payalim, and he did some sort of meshicha, but if it was loy pasak, the halach is that you're not koinu, shnei b'chayim lachzer. Right, so this in and of itself is ready a raya. We're going to see it again from the next part of the braisa as well. Pirkon, what would be if the buyer in a more conventional way. He didn't take the chamor, he didn't take the poil and yank them into his rishos. But rather, what he did was he removed these peiros that were on them. V'chnisan, and he took the peiros themselves, l'toich beisoy. Same halacha. Pasak atchaloi matat, ein shneim yichaylam lachzebam. If he did the psika, meaning they agreed on a price, even if he didn't measure the peiros yet, but you can't be chayzer anymore. Because once you agreed on a price, at that point there was already a meshicha that took place, even though you were a madad the peiros, but once the peiros are under reshus lekech, at that point you can't be chayzer. Madad atchaloi pasak. If, however, he did meshicha and you measured it, but you didn't agree on a price, shneim yichaylam lachzebam. So, you see, it's side from the ratio of the Brisa, side from the safe of the Braisa, that if you're not Madad, or if you're not Pasak, I should say, that Loch is the king is not going to be in effect. This is not talking about Yayin Nesach. So this was Rav Huna's Raya, he brought a Raya from this Braisa, clearly to this Halacha, that just like you see in our Mishnah, without Pasak, without agreeing on a price, there's no Smichas Das. This is true, not only when it comes to Yayin Nesach, which is a Chomer de Geparsha, but this is true really when it comes to all areas of Choshen Mishpat. Another story. Who gabbed on the There's a person that told his friend, if I ever decide to sell this property, I'm giving you again some sort of right of first refusal. I'm going to sell it to you for 100. The person went, Zavnin Shachin Bemeva Asrin. He went, he sold to somebody else for 120. Rav Kana said, Kanakama. The first person was Kaine. He had a right of first refusal. And being there, a right of first refusal, it says, now here too, the buyer, that first guy, the guy who had the right of first refusal, had done a Maisa Kinyan. Being that he had done a Maisa Kinyan, and here it was Pasak, right? That's the difference between this story and the previous story. Here there was a real Pasak, because it was a real Pasak. Here it's a Pasak. So the first person's going to be Kinyan. Here a buyer is also going to be Moida, right? In the first case, Rav Yosef said a Chiddush, where he was like Pasak. But here it was Pasak, and because he was Pasak, everyone's going to agree he's going to be Kinyan. Mask of the Rav Yakim and Apalka, but Rav Yakim Apalka asks, Hai Zuzi Ansuhu. What do you mean? He was forced into selling and violating this right of first refusal because he got more money. Now, the truth is, he didn't violate the right of first refusal. Right? What did he say? He said, if I sell it to you, I'm going to, or if I sell it, I'm going to sell it to you for $100. He ended up selling it for $120. Right? So did he mean that I'm for sure going to sell it to you for $100? Or did he mean that if I sell it for $100, I'm going to sell it to you? So said Rav Yaakov and Har Pakud, I think this is not really a time. Because really what he meant to tell him was that if I sell it for $100, I'm going to sell it to you. But I sold it for $120. And being that I sold it for $120, you can't have tainas on me. And the Gemara says, V'hilchzik Rav Yaakov and Har Pakud, that taina is the proper taina, says the Gemara. So one of the themes of today's daf, and really comes from the Mishnah, is that if two people agree on a sale, they could do kinyanim for naipiz margin. But if they didn't agree on a price, if they didn't set the price, so we assume that there's no smichas das, the kinyanim are not going to be kinyanim, shnei mechaydom lachzabar. If somebody wants to be chayzer, he'd be allowed to be chayzer. The Gemara now is going to introduce exceptions to that rule. There are certain times where even if there's no price that was agreed upon, if a kinyan's done, it's the equivalent of a psika, and the halacha is going to be that the kinyan is going to go into effect. Notably, in a situation where the buyer and the seller say that we're going to trust a group of people, right? Some objective group of people, and whatever they determine the price should be, that's what we're going to sell it at. So we're going to shake on it. We're going to do the Maisa Kinyan now, and then afterwards we're going to go ask these chaver, and whatever they're going to say, that's what we're going to sell it for. If they do that, even though they don't know what the price is at the time of the sale, but it's the equivalent thereof, and the mechira is going to be a mechira. And the Gemara gives examples of this, and as we'll see, sometimes this works and sometimes this doesn't work. Amalei, if the moicher told the buyer, I'm going to sell you this piece of property, we're not going to agree on a price now, but it's going to be kedeshaimi betlasa. We're going to ask three people to give a shuma, and whatever the price, their assessment's going to be, that's what it's going to be sold for. So the halach is, afilu treimi goy tlasa. If two of the three agree on a price, they have to go along with it. And Rashi says the reason is, because when you say kedeshaimi betlasa, essentially what you're saying is that we're going to trust these three people as if they're a bezden. The word kedeshaimi is a bezden de gesprach. Bezden makes a shuma. So it's like a bezden lashon. Bezden, we know, not all three dayanim have to agree. Achri ravim lahatis, you go basarayv. So as long as two people come with a set price, that's going to be enough. Kida amri bitlasa. What would be if the seller would tell the buyer that we're going to agree to sell it, not kide shaymi betlasa, kide amri betlasa, then it's ad amri betlasa. You'd have to hear from all three. Because the amri is not a lashon of beznin, and if you said tlas, it sounds like if all three people want to agree on a price, not necessarily going to go baser roif. Kide shaymi barba. What if the person would use the lashon shuma, which is beznin de galash, but he would say four, then ad amri barba. Then you would need all four, because if you meant the beznin, you would say three. Four sounds like you want all four to say the same thing. The koshkin, it goes without saying, hecha da amale. Kide amri barba, if you would say kide amri barba, so you're using number one, the lashon to the amri, which is not a lashon of bezin, and the number four, which is not a bezin the number, then for sure, you would need all four of the dayanim to say the same thing. Another gemara, amale. If the meicher tells the lekeach, I'm going to sell you this property, based on the shum of three people, three people came, and they assessed, and then the other person said, doesn't matter if it was the meicher, the lekeach. Meaning, after they got the shuma, he said, You know what? I want a second opinion. Amr Rapapa said, do you know who the ma'akev? Yeah, you have a schus to ask for a second opinion. Maskef la Rav Huna, b'ed Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna b'ed Rav Yeshua said, may dahani de kim lutfei. Dil mahani kim lutfei. Meaning, mecha teisa, the second opinion is better than the first opinion. Meaning, a second opinion in the Velta, if it's a better opinion, I could hear. But what do you mean? You agreed, made a kinyan, you shook on the fact that we're going to ask these objective people what they think this is worth, and now you don't like the outcome. So you're saying, I want a second opinion. Mechateisi. And Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua is prefacing, bishloima, if we've had a reason to believe that the second opinion is a more valuable opinion, that's one thing. But mechateisi, mimai dahai kim lutfei, domahani kim lutfei. Bottom line, the Gemara says, "V'hilchus Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua." The halacha is like Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. This taina, mimai dahanu kim lutfei, dil mahani kim lahu tfei. So we're going to make a haschol on the next sugi. Zok the Mishnah, not alas hamashpech. In the event that moicher yayin, that's a yid, takes a mashpech umadad l'toich tzuchisa shalavi kechav, and he poured it into the tzluchas of shalavi kechav. So we're talking about yid who took wine from his chavis, and he already measured it. Now he has to take it from the measuring cup and pour it into the tzloiches that belongs to the Levi Kechav. And the way he's getting it from point A to point B is he's going to pour it through this mashpech, which is a funnel. So, right, you don't want to pour it from one thing straight into the other. You want it to go through the funnel. So the yid takes his mashpech, and he puts it on top of the tzloiches, the jug of the Levi Kechavim, and he's pouring the wine from his clay medida through the mashpech into the tzloiches of the guy. And then he went and he used the same exact mashpech when he was pouring wine into the tzloiches of Yisrael. If the mashpech has a lip where a little bit of wine can aggregate, aser the halach is that the wine is going to be aser. Because being that the yid used this mashpech first to pour the wine into the tzloiches of the Levi Kechavim, and there's an akeves yayin, we're afraid there might be a little bit of wine from the tzloiches of the Levi Kechavim. Now you're going to go and rinse and repeat for the Yisrael. A little bit of that wine might get into the wine of the Yisrael. It's based on that. This is going to be awesome. The Gemara is going to explain this a little bit better. Hamara mikli al kli. If somebody pours wine from one keli to another kli, as she'ira mimenu mutter, the keli from where the wine is being poured is going to be mutter. Fesheira l'toichei aser, but the keli where the wine is being poured into is going to be aser. This too, the Gemara is going to explain. Either way, so really this Mishnah, as we're going to see, is going to segue us into something that we saw fleetingly in the beginning of the daf, and that is the halacha of Nitzok. So we mentioned the concept of Nitzok, right? Had it come up earlier, so it was talking about Rav, who told the Meicher Yayin Lo'ev de Kechavim that, you know, when you pour wine and sell wine to Lo'ev de Kechavim, make sure you take payment first, because if you're not going to take payment first, it might become Yayin Nesech before you get the money, before the transaction is consummated, and then it'll turn out that what you were selling was Yayin Nesech, and that's obviously not something that a yid is allowed to do. In the course of that Gemara, the Gemara threw out there, Shema Mina, if you understand Rav, you know, the way the Gemara had suggested, maybe you could understand Rav, that Nitzuk is a chibur. What's Nitzuk? Well, you have a stream of liquid that connects two bodies, and if the Nitzuk is a chibur, that means the two bodies of water are going to be connected. Really, the Makar to Nitzuk is a Mishnah Masechtas Tyrus, and it is the way this Gemara begins. San Hosp, we're going to the Mishnah, and this is in the 8th paragraph of Masechtas Tyrus, Han Nitzuk. So again, a Nitzuk is a vertical stream of liquid that connects two bodies of water to each other. Vaketafres. So that's, again, we have a body of water and another body of water. One is higher than the other. It's on a slant. And again, the two waters are connected. Or if you have a body of water where it's not mamish super wet, but rather it's damp. So the visual would be, you have two bodies of water, and in between them there's dry land, but it's not mamish dry. It's mashke teifeach. It's somewhat moist. It's somewhat damp. The halacha is eino chibur. The nitzuk is not a chibur. The katafris is not a chibur. The mashke teifeach is not a chibur. Loi letumah. Sign not for tumma and sign not for tire. What would be the case of tumma? So if somebody would put tumma on one side of the nitzuk, the other side would not become tameh. On one body of water, the katafras wouldn't be mechaber the two bodies of water to say that it's all tameh. If somebody would put, again, Taman, one body of water, the Mashke Tefeach wouldn't be mechaber all these waters to say this. Same is true for Tyra. Tyra would be in a case of a mikvah, where you could have maybe Arbam Sof, you mechaber it all together. Well, if a Nitzayk, a Katafris, and a Mashke Tefeach is not considered a chibur, with Tyra, then it wouldn't create a kosher mikvah. Hashbayrin. So Hashbayrin, Rashi says, is where you have a crevice in the earth and a lot of water gathered there, collected over there. So there, if you have the requisite shear for Tyra, or if you want to know, is it considered one body of water regarding Tuma? Yeah. Chibur le Tuma, u le Tyra. So Rav Huna said, Nitzak katafris amash katefeya, chibur le Yayin Nesach. As it relates to the Sukkot, it's a Yayin Nesach. Then a Nitzak, a katafris, and a mash katefeya is considered a chibur. So for example, if somebody's pouring wine from one keli to another keli, and there's a perfect stream that's being mechaber, the two kelim, that would be a nitzuk, and it would be considered a chibur le Yayin Nesach. And the same would be true for any such type of chibur, that they're considered a chibur regarding Yayin Nesach. Meaning, the Mishnah said that a nitzuk ha-katafres and a mashke teifeach is not a chibur l'inyan tuma v'tayra. Kumtz again, Rav Huna, and he says that that's true for tuma v'tayra, but regarding Yayin Nesach, it's a chibur. Amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, bin Alocha. How do you know this? And he said like this, maybe you know from the Mishnah. Midyat, not what the Mishnah said. Nitzuk ha-katafres and mashke teifeach, inu chibur l'inyan tuma v'tayra. What does it sound like? L'tuma v'tayra hu d'lei havi chibur, hol inyan Yayin Nesach havi chibur, right? It sounds like regarding tuma v'tayra, it's not considered a chibur, but regarding Yayin Nesach, it is. Kudiyak, not for tuma, not for Tyra, but yeah, for Yayin Nesach. But if that's the case, if that's a dig, I'm a safe. Ashbayrin, chibur l'tuma l'tayra. Ashbayrin, when the water gathers inside the crevice, it's considered chibur l'tuma l'tayra. It sounds like tuma l'tayra, who da havi chibur, only Yayin Nesach le havi chibur. It sounds like that Ashbayrin is considered a chibur for tuma l'tayra, not Yayin Nesach. Now, if Ashbayrin is not a chibur for Yayin Nesach, then Kol Shekein, Ben Oishal Kol Shekein, Nitzak Etafris, and Mashke Toifech wouldn't be considered a chibur with regards to Yayin Nesach, meaning Elam held back the Mishnah. You know, you can't be medayik anything from the Mishnah, because you can't be medayik from the Reishon, you can't be medayik from the Seifa, which means you can't be medayik at all. And if that's the case, Rav Huna's Makar could not have been from our Mishnah, which means we need to find the Makar to Rav Huna, because the Mishnah says Nitzuk Katarfus and Mashke Toifech is not considered a chibur le'inyan Tumah V'Tayra. Rav Huna is being mechadish, it is a chibur regarding Yayin Nesach. What is the Mekar? Zokta Gemara Tanan. We learned in a Mishnah. Which Mishnah? Our Mishnah. Which is why we're having this discussion. Not unless I'm Mashpech. In the event that a Yid, again, was selling wine to an Oivik HaChavim. And he's pouring the wine from his measuring cup into the Tzloiches of the Oivik HaChavim. And he does it derech his Mashpech. This funnel. So not unless I'm Mashpech. Umad ala teich tzuchis shal Oivik HaChavim. V'chazer umad ala teich tzuchis shal Yisrael. And after he did it into the Tzloiches of the guy, he did it into the Tzloiches of a Yid. So what did Mishnah say? If there's a lip which is going to be ma'akev, right? That's why it's called akeves yayin. It holds back some of the wine, right? There's a little bit of a lip, the hem that the keli has. So then the halach is aser, the wine is going to now be aser. Meaning you can't use this mashpech to pour wine into the tzlichus of a yid, and if you do, you're going to have a problem. Says the Gemara, ha akeves yayin, the ma'akev mitzera. What are you worried about? Meaning, what concern is there about that keves yayin? Now, let's be clear about this. The yid, when he was pouring the wine, he's pouring his own kosher wine, right? So any wine that gets stuck on that lip, that's regular kosher wine. The non-kosher wine that you may have to be concerned about, right? Let's think about this, would be on the bottom of the goy's tzloiches, right? We always assume the bottom of the goy's tzloiches might have a little bit of wine. But how's that wine getting its way all the way up to the lip? It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Lav, probably the concern is benitzik, that you were worried that as the wine was being poured, so there was a chibur between the wine that's inside the tzloiches of the guy and the wine that's on the bottom of the tzloiches. That created a chibur, that created a nitzok. Thus, any wine that's going to be on the lip, that akeves yayin, is going to be a problem. Well, shmami, not nitzok chibur. Oh, savarai, nitzok chibur. This must be the right, Rav Huna. Our Mishnah of Eidazar, where you expect to find the right, not in Tyrus. It's right here, off in earth. That from the fact that you worried about that akeves yayin, in that case, this must be a raya to Rav Huna, but the Gemara says no, because Tani Rav Chia had a braisa that explained the Mishnah differently. It's a mafurish braisa that addressed this question. And it actually didn't say what Rav Huna said. You know what it said? It said, it's talking about where the wine was being poured into the tzlichis of the goy, and so much wine poured in that it actually started like raising the levels, and it overflowed a little bit to the point where it went into the klimadit. It went into the mashpech. Being that it went into the mashpech, so that wine for sure is a problem. It's not a problem als nitzok. It's a problem because it actually is mixed, it's intermingled together with the wine of the guy. Meaning, nitzuk means that it's not intermingled, it's just mechuber, it's attached to it. Over here, it actually became one body of wine that rose literally to the level of the akeves, and that's what the reason is. If I care, Rav Chiya explained the mefurish, it's nothing to do with nitzuk. Says the Gemara, you know, if that's the case, I think there's a raya faker from Rav Huna. Meaning, it sounds like Rav Chiya made an akim to shepach sasay tzulchisay, avaloy pach sasay tzulchisay my loy. Sounds like it would be a problem. I think if anything, maybe you should bring a ride that Nitzuk is not a good Gemara says lie. For sure, you could prove that Pachsoit Tzuchisa is a problem. I mean, that's Pshar in the Mishnah, the way Rav Chiya explained it in the Braisa. As it relates to Nitzuk, you can't be Pashit. And the way Rashi explains, there's a chiddush in Pachsoit Tzuchisa. Rashi says you could have thought that Pachsoit Tzuchisa is also considered Nitzuk. I mean, it's not clear that Pachsoi Tzulchisa should in and of itself be a problem. So that's why we needed a Mishnah to tell me that Pachsoi Tzulchisa is a problem. But to prove that if it's not Pachsoi Tzulchisa, loy, that azoivite not. And just to explain it a little bit better, what Rashi's saying is, if there was no chiddush in Pachsoi Tzulchisa, then you would have to say that the chiddush is that nitzuk ene chibur. The chiddush is not what we are saying, it's what we're not saying. But being that there's a chiddush in Pachsoi Tzulchisa, you can't necessarily be medayik that if it was loy pachsoit tzuchisoy loy, because I could always tell you the Mishnah is not coming to tell me hilchis nitzok now. It's coming to tell me pachsoit tzuchisoy. You want to know what a regular nitzok is? I don't know. You can't prove to me, yeah, because we made an akim to pachsoit tzuchisoy, but you also can't tell me no. The bottom line is, there's no right. Maybe you can bring a raya to Rav Huna from the next halacha, the Mishnah. So again, we thought to bring a raya to Rav Huna's halacha that nitzo ketafis hamash ketevech is a chibli yinayin nesach from the first part of the Mishnah. Right, sound like a good raya. Nachalas hamashpech. So if there's an akeves yayin and you use it for the goys, then for the yids, it's going to be a problem. Probably else the nitzo. Gemara says, no, it's nothing to do with the nitzo. It's related to pachsoi tzuchisa. But what about the seifa? What did the seifa say? Hama'are Mikli lakli, if somebody pours wine from one keli to another keli, as shema'ara mimenu mutter, so the Mishnah said that the keli that you're pouring from is going to be mutter, that she'ira l'taychayas, but the keli that it's being poured into is going to be awesome. Now the Gemara assumes right now that we're probably talking about a Yid who's pouring the wine, right? The Mishnayos are talking to Yidin. So we're talking to a Yid. He's pouring wine from his kosher keli, mikli lakli, to a goy's keli that's not kosher. And what we're saying is, as shema'ara mimenu mutter, what the keli that you're pouring from is going to be mutter, it's vesha'ira l'toichai, that's going to be aser. Says the Gemara, it sounds like hada beni beni yasa, that it's dafka the keli, the any wine that was left in the original keli, that keli is going to be mutter. But any keli that was in the kiluach, any keli that's part of this nitzog is going to be yasser, even if it didn't make it into the avar, it didn't make it into the keli yet. But anything that's in the avar at that point, right, if you went ahead and you chapped it from the avar, right, that's where the case would be. If you went and you grabbed it out of the avar, you intercepted it, well, it sounds like it would be awesome. It's only what's inside the keli that never became awesome. But anything that leaves the keli itself, it's in the ear space, that in and of its, I'm sorry, anything that's inside the keli is going to be mutter. But anything that left the ear space is going to be awesome. Doesn't it sound like the halacha is that the nitzuk is going to be asa shmamino nitzuk chibus? You see, nitzuk is a chibus. This is a raya to Rav Huna. So again, the Gemara says that the reish is not a raya, but maybe the safe is a raya. Right? Ma'ara mikli l'kli shema'ara menu mutter. We're talking about a yid that's pouring kosher wine into a non-kosher keli. Whatever's left in the yid's keli is giving mutter, but anything that leaves the keli is also. Now you tell me it's anyways going into the guy's keli. What if you intercepted it? Shmamino nitzuk chibus. The Gemara says no. E nitzuk chibur. It doesn't make any sense because if pshat in the Mishnah is that it's nitzuk is chibur, then I feel like I'm on an amulitzer. Meaning, if there's a nitzuk, so the two bodies of water being connected, so why would it only be that what's beini ubeini, what it says in the ear space, would be aser? L'chayru, what's in the original keli should be aser as well. I mean, it can't be. That's what's going on in this Mishnah. Because if the time of the Mishnah holds nitzuk is aser, then I don't know how you understand the Mishnah b'nei abed. The one says, no, holy kasha. I don't know if that's fair, because maybe it's talking about the kamaktiv katufe. Maybe it's talking about where you did it in a way where there actually was never a chibur between the wine in the keli versus the wine in the keli that it's being poured into. And if that's the case, then it's not a kasha why the wine that it's coming from is mutter, that should become aser als nitzok, because it was actually never mechubar, because of this maktiv ketufe. Now, what's the mitzias of maktiv ketufe? So Rashi says you pour that like a little bit at a time. You did it in a way where there was never a chibur. But the bottom line is, maybe that's why it's mutter. But mekamakam nitzok chibur, but fakir. But you have a raya then for the fact that beini ubeini is aser, then nitzok is chibur. So this would seem to be the raya. Says the Gemara, but litamech, if that is true, ema sefer. Let's look at the sefer. As she'ir l'toichai, who does it? What did the sefer say? That she'ir l'toichai is aser. It sounds like other beini shari. It's tafkish. She'ir l'toichai is going to be aser. But it sounds like whatever's beini is beini is going to be mutter. And if that's the case, obviously you can't prove anything from the Mishnah, because as much as there's a diak that hamaarim mikli l'kli hashem ari menu mutter hada beini beini yasser, there's the reverse diak, and that is esheir l'toichai yasser hada beini beini mutter. So there is no diak to be had from the seif of the Mishnah. So you can't prove Rav Huna's halacha from not the reish of the Mishnah, not from the seif of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, let's see if we can prove it from somewhere else. Tashma from a brisa maarim mechavis labar. If somebody was pouring wine from his chavis into a bar, and the assumption now is that this bar had yayin nesach inside. Ki luach hayoyred misfas chavis lamata, any stream that goes from the edge of the chavis lamata aser is going to be aser. Why is that ki luach going to be aser? Oh, must be. It's because it's mechubar to the yayin in the bar, and you see that nitzuk is going to be considered a chibur, but the Gemara is doich of this as well. The Gemara says, Tigma Rav Sheshes said, that halacha is something else. It's talking about, a guy was pouring wine into the bar. It's coming mikoichai. We know koichai is a problem, right? A guy pours wine, that's a yayin nesach sugya, and that's why it's going to be a problem. Meaning, lo'olam, I'll tell you that it's not out nitzuk. In fact, we're not even talking about where a yid was the one that was pouring it. The guy poured it. I bought it. That's why it's right. So it sounds like only what's in the kiluach is going to be a problem. Whatever remains in the chavis is not going to be a problem. If there's a guy pouring it, then shouldn't that be a problem as well? And for the Gemara, the whole concept of koich by avik chavim is only an issa de rabbanon. Hahu denafik levroi gazer be rabbanon. Anything that leaves the actual keli, the rabbanon with geyser on, about who the legavoy, the gozer, the rabbanon, anything that's inside the rabbanon wearing geyser. So yeah, it's aser, it's koichai, and koichai is aser, but it's only aser in the rabbanon, which is interesting for the yai nesach sugyas. Whatever leaves is going to be a problem. Whatever doesn't leave is not going to be a problem. Either way, what was the latter part of the daf? It was a discussion of nitzuk chibur, nitzuk lav chibur. So is nitzuk a chibur? So it's really, it's a mishnah in Tyrus. Nitzuk katafis or mashke teifeach is not a chibur, the tum is not a chibur, the tyre. But Rav Huna the Amir came with a blitz. He said, as much as a nitzuk is not a chibur for tum of the tyre, it is a chibur for yai nesach. And the question was, where did Rav Huna get this halacha from? And the Gemara thought maybe he got it from Unzer Mishnah. First, the Reish of the Mishnah. From the fact that you see that a Yid who sells wine to a guy and to a Yid, if he has a mashpech, he has a funnel that has this akeves yayin, then you can't go and swap first pour to the guy and then to the Yid, because the wine that's going to be by that akeves yayin is going to be a problem. What's the problem? And every time the Yid pours wine, he's always pouring kosher wine. Must be because at some point there's going to be a kiluach. The kiluach is going to create a chibur. That's going to be a problem. Oh, it's a raya to Rav Huna that nitzuk is considered chibur when it comes to yayin nesach. The Mara is doicha that. Mara says, could be that's related to something else. It's talking about shepachsesoy tzulchisoy. The concern is that maybe the whole water, the bottom, the tzluchis overflowed a little bit and it actually went into the mashpech. So there's real taruvas of yayin nesach. It's not nitzuk, there's real taruvas there. That's what we're worried about. Then the Gemara said, I hear, maybe the raya would be from the seif of the Mishnah. Hama'ara mikli l'kli as shema'ara mimenu muter. And the assumption is, what's going on in the case where a yid is pouring from his keli to a goy's keli? The halach is that any wine that stays in the yid's keli while he's pouring remains muter. But it sounds like how the beini beini is going to be yasser. Why the beini beini yasser? It's only attached. I mean, if I go and I chop it before the guy takes it, why would it be a problem? It must be. The reason it's going to be a problem is because of Nitzuk. Also, you see Nitzuk's Chibur, but the Gemara says that if you're going to make that Diyuk, you'd have to be consistent. You'd have to make the same exact Diyuk from the Sefer. As She'iru L'toichai Hudasa. It sounds like how the Beni Beni is Mutter. The Gemara said you can't prove anything from here. Then the Gemara took a third attempt at it. There's a Braisa, Ma'ara, Mechavis Labar, Kiluach Hayar, Misfas Chavis Mata Asr. Oh, the Kiluach is Asr, probably because Nitzuk's Chibur says, nah, a whole different case. Talking about where the guy is the one who poured it, it's Asr else. Koichai, if that's the case, why is only the Kiluach Asr? Why is what's inside the Chavis not Asr? The reason what's inside the chavis is not going to be Asr is because Kaicha is only the Rabbanon. They will only geyser what leaves, what doesn't leave, doesn't. Either way, we're still in the middle of the sugya, but we learned a daf and a half of Gemara, and we are going to stop here for now.